M263.
Thank you.
help us. Look again at the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, reading the first two verses. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, the first two verses. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. True religion means that a sinner is experimentally taught and instructed by the Spirit of God. The Word of God, if we keep very close to it, declares to us, it is not of works, lest any man or person should boast. There is no doubt whatever that if our old nature had its own way, it would love to set out a different way of salvation and would then eventually rob Jesus Christ of all the glory that is his just due. Seeing therefore that any comfort at all must and shall come entirely from Christ by the Spirit of God, it sets the sinner extremely low. It lays us down at Jesus' feet. It makes us dependent upon him. He brings us to be instructed and brings us to be made willing that he should instruct us in the way that we should walk. I say again in emphasis, in case any should have a lurking thought in your heart, well, the man doesn't give much scope. There's no scope, friends, only in Christ. None at all. Whatever else we may think we can do, all our doing is of none effect until we are finally and fully and determinedly brought by the Spirit of God to hang upon Christ for every spiritual comfort. There's none other that we can hang on. Have I been pleased during the last year of times when the Lord has brought me so miserably destitute in my soul, and I have been forced out of necessity to cast my own soul upon Christ, the sinner's friend? You say, well, we don't have blessings like this, and a good many say so. But let me ask the question. Do you ever feel that you are brought to cast your soul and all your circumstances unreservedly upon Christ and in his hand, friend, because you will get the blessing if you do? Absolutely, going to him, you can't take anything with you. It's all behind you. The only one thing you make presentation of, and it is your sinnership, your sins. The word speaks strong here, that her iniquity, a man's iniquity, a woman's iniquity, a child's iniquity, young person's iniquity, we all have sinned. It's no good trying to think, well, I haven't done so much as someone else. You know, friends, one sinful thought, one sinful desire in one person is enough in God's sight to damn a whole world for eternity. that is the awfulness of sin. Go back to the Garden of Eden, there is a sin, when Adam by transgression fell. You believe it, I do. You believe the awfulness of our state and condition before God by nature, I do. Have you ever been brought here, fellow sinner, shocked at the sight, I straight crying, can ever God dwell in? I have many, many times and wept over it and wept over it. This is the effect, sinner. Do you weep? Do you need this? As a mother comforted her son. A good mother and her son. They always do say, they not, the father and the daughter are so close together, and the mother and the son. I don't know about the daughter. The Lord never let me have one. The older I get, the more I long for one. One of the things he denied me, and I often ask him, why was it? Why was it? Could you think of this, consider it? Life as a mother comforted her son. Have you ever been comforted by your mother in trouble when you were young? She ever caressed you with her arm? She ever dried your tears? Ever spoken to you in a comforting way with what the Lord says, comfort ye my people? Back in Isaiah, here's the woman, here's the son. The Lord, using this illustration, speaking of his people, looking at their need, seeing their destitution, seeing they require and desire and want this comfort, this gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who was despised and rejected of men, the one who went about doing good, the one who was the Savior of poor, wretched, miserable, hell-deserving sinners. Was there ever a gospel that would meet your case, sinner, like this one? Suitable in every degree and aspect is Christ. Suitable, a most suitable Savior, a most suitable gospel. What is it? This man receiveth sinners like us tonight here. I'm so afraid, you know, when I'm preaching, that the minds of the hearers may go down the road. I know a woman, I know a man, I know someone else. They're in sin, so this is a trouble. Let it start, friends, in our chapels. Let it start in God's church. God is here reprimanding of his people in this blessed book. My people, my people, my people. What have my people done? They have gone after idols. They have gone seeking strange gods. Can we throw anything at them, friends? Not at all, not at all. Oh, does the heart cry out of your heart, fellow sinner? Here's my heart, Lord, take and steal it. Steal it from thy courts above. Don't let me have the idols, Lord. Don't let me have the idols. And he has said this, that he was scourged and purged to bring us into the refining room, take away the dross. There won't be much gold and silver left on us, friends. If God gives you and me a real religion, friends, it'll be a little bit of the real. But it'll be enough for you to love Jesus Christ. And you'll have enough religion that presently you take to the heaven. Not by the wisdom of men, not by all the understanding that man says, well, is this this way, is there another way? Here it is, God, who has a time here when he speaks of his people that they should be spoken to, and I notice again here, he says, speak ye comfortably. And then there was a little more force spoken of. Cry unto her. This afternoon, coming home, was our friend kindly brought us, and I spoke back on this text after the afternoon service. My mind went to that word in the gospel where Jesus stood in the temple and he cried. He cried. He lifted up his voice, it means, and he cried in the temple. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. How many of you spiritually thirst tonight? How many of you are hungry for the gospel? How many of you desire to read your title clear? How many? God reprimands. God brings into judgment. God brings us into condemnation by the power of his holy law for all our sins. But he said, I will withal make a way of escape. Blessed be God. The dear apostle said this of him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What course in him? He's made a way whereby sinners, all the ruins of hell, what we are by nature, we damn our own souls, friends. Don't think it's too strong. Our willfulness in sin. By nature, there's not one person in this chapel that wants him at all. It is by divine grace that he brings himself, the sinner, to that place. Look unto me. Look unto me. By your own power? No. By the force of grace, the power of grace. You've got any goodness? I tell you, friends, if you feel that you have, the Lord will burn it away from you. He will. You say, well, surely he lets me have something. Yes, he will. More than himself. You cannot praise him, and he can give no more. You think of that. The blessedness of Christ. The oneness of Christ, the suitability of Christ. The sinner is made to say, Lord, my soul is naked. I'm destitute, I'm bare. The Savior says, bring forth the best robe and put it upon him. Put it upon him. Bring it forth. Do you realize it? The power of God. Power of salvation, the power of Christ, the willingness of Christ, the love of Christ, the love of God the Father. Blessed be this God and Father of Jesus Christ, ever for thinking, ever for bringing into being this wonderful gospel that has been sounded out so many times that his servants and people feel they would love the honor of the weary. You cumber them calendar's way of escape. I'm not going to go and walk in to please people and say, well, don't be too confident about it. Don't want to tell them that there is any hope, you know. No, I've heard some of this in my time. I do not want to let them think there's too much hope. There is hope. The blessed workbook says in here, you know, there is a door of hope and God made it. A door of hope whereby they shall be saved. One of Jehovah's shells. Another one of his wills. And he said, he, let him who thirst for heavenly joys, come unto me, the Savior cries, and drink at my spring end. Blessed be God, forever giving his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins, ruined sinners, made and raised up the sons of God. Do you believe that I do, I love it? Had it not been for this precious price, I should have sunk many, many, many times in endless perdition. So would you. So would you. We can sing, some of us, was grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took, my iniquities, my sins. Now you may ask those of you who have your faith silent, you hope by the grace of God that you are living for a better country. You have not obtained this precious prize of sins forgiven. Now I hope before we go on, I hope you won't be left in this condition where you misjudge those that have. Because this is rather a way that I often feel is shown, you know, they say, well, they've had the power of its sins, and I haven't had it. But if they had, they would be brought to rejoice in Jesus' name, and they wouldn't cast a net on the other people that have had it. You see, when you consider this, sin and iniquity, it makes up such a large account quickly. You may go to the shop, to the stores. You may soon, before you're unaware of it, I don't know, but I should say so, I don't put it into practice, run up an account because you had so many things. But before you look around, some people are so backward, I suppose, in reckoning, or bad managers, and there's an account that is presented to them, and it's got out of all bounds. But you see, the Lord says that that must be paid. Now, so does the Lord God say, we, by nature, have run up this account of sin and iniquity. And when the Lord brings us the books, he says, his law says, but it must be paid. It must be paid. And no sinner yet has ever been able to find anything in their own heart or life or deeds or words or prayers that can satisfy the demands of God that speaks and says, I must be paid. Now where are you going to lose this account? It's not a case of lodging it with someone. It is a case of being rid of it by someone, having it settled. If you ever have this day, fellow sinner, and I've said before, I hope and pray that you all may know it and have it, you will stand before God justified by faith in the dear Redeemer's precious blood and righteousness. It will be as though you had been able to say to God the Father, I owe nothing because Jesus Christ has paid all. Now that's freedom. We quoted this today to one of our dear friends, speaking a little of this. Now if the Son, Jesus Christ, has made us free, then shall we be free indeed. By nature, by sin, we are bond, but not to Christ, to sin and Satan. Now has that bond ever been broken? Have you ever felt the bonds to be snapped asunder? Have you ever been made to feel you have the freedom of Zion by the blood of Jesus? For this is what it means. Not imagination. Don't think I've been reading something, will you? And have borrowed it. I haven't borrowed anything, thank God. Not a thing. It is where he has brought me into his banqueting house and his banner over my poor destitute soul was love. There's one or two or more of you in this chapel know what I preach about. You do. And there's some of you are feeling after him, that you may know him, that you may know the power of his resurrection in raising you up out of the dead and destitute condition and situation that he has revealed. reveal to you that you are family, comfort you. Are you present, Maura? Thine as a mother, comforted her son. You consider. Psalmist said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You come closer than this, he will come closer, and you will come closer. He'll dry your tears. He'll wipe your weeping eyes. He'll tell you, sinner, his great love for you, wherewith he hath loved you. Do you long to know it, and long to hear it, and long to feel it? This is not thinking, it is feeling. Knowing by experience, being taught of the Spirit, and the Word brings us home here, as many as are led or taught by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What a mercy is it? Well, we're a stranger, do we? We consider being a stranger. Even God says in his church, may mount the pulpit, may take part in different things in the service, and be destitute. So sad to me. Whatever it costs to be made a child of God, I must tell you tonight, it's worth it, children. It's worth it, whatever it costs. And if there's no cost to it, friends, not of any value. In my young days, I used to say to the Lord, when he truly awakened me, I used to pray on this alone, Lord, do make me right at all costs. And that doesn't matter, Lord, what that's going to cost, you know, but I didn't really know what I was praying for, but the Lord has shown me since. The cost. There's not much cost, is there, for today? Not much cost. Not in our country, not to be a Christian. On the day you could go behind the Iron Curtain, and you would, in all probability, find a few of the Lord's people, although they're not suffering, don't think for one moment they're not in the secret of few of them, friends. They are, I believe it. Their suffering is intense. Their persecution is past human thought. What would we do? What would we do? Don't know if we know. I'm not entering into politics. I've come almost to detest such a word, and those who profess them. But I believe this. The day ever comes, if communism comes into this land and is overtaken and overrun by it, our privileges are gone forever and ever. Makes me fear, what shall we do? That's the time we should need the comforting hand of a dear Jesus. And you would need more than that. Not only for him to dry our tears, we would need his hand to hold ours to keep us in the narrow path, or else we should step aside. It's true, God's people, today they are, in comparison, very, very few. How many are godly, exercised in a godly way? How many, in their own homes, practice truly what they preach or what they hear? I ask you this. What is it like in your home, in my own home? Do we love him? Do we desire that Christ, what we try to pray in our little home, that he has lived with us? We don't want to be strangers to him, friends. It all begins there. If we need to be succored when we're a child, where do we go to a stranger? To our mother. She comes to us. She gives us of the breast. So it is with the Church of God and his people. They go to Christ. They are fed there with the living water of salvation. And their talk, their comfort, and only be found in him. You say to me, I want blessings. I say, return to you. Are you truly exercised concerning that blessing? Do you pray for it? Do you desire to walk as is pleasing to God, that he would comfort you and bless you in your home, in your life, in your business, in every way? Yes, and the young in the school, or whatever they're at. Truly, to live near to the Lord, and if not, we can dispense with this text from this blessed book, because we shan't know comfort from it. Living strange to Christ, living strange to God, no, this won't do. The Lord will reprimand us and bring us into judgment. And what does he say of us? Oh, my people, oh, have I gotten caught to this? Oh, my people have gone astray. Haven't they? You see how he yearned after his people. You think of the chapels that you know of. Some years back they were solid causes. Today it's as good as idolatry penned in them. And you can mark some of them that have SPX sign, but inside they're not. They're not. And they can't find the comfort of the gospel because it's not with them. Now Christ himself must be preached. And if this gospel be not preached, then woe is me. And woe is any, if the gospel of Christ be not preached. And that is in the authority which Christ has, for he said, I have redeemed them, I have purchased them, they're mine. Wonderful blessing if we could truly feel tonight that each one of us should be found with the redeemed later on, wouldn't it? In heaven, sometimes, many times, be the earth of many times, I could have put you, my arms around you, and taken you each the price, and said, Lord, save the poor things, save them, and tell them that thou didst die for them. Friends, this is how I believe it should be. Not here to pass people out, to show the way of life, to encourage and comfort them that often have to say, oh, this is the way. I long and sought and mourned because I found it not. But you will find it. You'll find Jesus. Because Jesus will take this first move and he will reveal himself to you. That's the blessed part of it. Do you ever realize this? Go back again and we spoke to you of all of grace, then it comes entirely from him. The first love, the first effect of it, the first move in grace of all in your soul, all comes from Jesus Christ. Now before we leave off today, I expect some of you will say, well, it wasn't all soul that we wanted to listen to today. It wasn't all this spiritual side. I know, it's true. I don't know if you know this, but a dear old man years ago down in the country was preaching, and he was preaching about the spiritual side, and you know, there was such unconcern was shown, and the poor old chappy almost lost heart. And he stopped and he said, you know, friends, last week I had to go to London, you know, because it was material. They came to and sat up and took interest. Now he said, this is how sad your lot is. You're so interested in material, but I fear that it may be the spiritual you're unconcerned. Now I hope that's not so here, nor anywhere that I go, but sometimes here in some places. You consider this. If you need comfort spiritually, there will be some things in a material way that you will need the Lord to comfort you in and to tell him, for him to tell you that you're in the right way. And this can cause great anxiety to a child of God, great anxiety. Times I've heard this from them, they've come and said, well, I don't know what to do, and I wouldn't tell them. Because I'd tell them if I knew, but I don't know. Say, well, the only thing we can do is to pray about it, and we pray with you, and wait only upon God, because your expectation is of him. You may think, well, we'll move home, we will go somewhere else, but where are you going? Where are you going? I love this. 2 or 3 weeks ago, too, that so desperately low, driving off to a chapel. My text at last was this: Lord, to whom can we go? It's the only text in the Bible for me to preach from. To whom can we go? There's no answer, friends, only this: to stay by the side of Jesus. For if we wander, we shall wander into trouble. Move is with empty, that's our trouble. Move positions, situations, businesses without him. Take on fresh enterprises without him. We're asking for trouble. The accomplishment, you ask him. Tell him you want one with wisdom, you haven't got it. Tell him you want his decision. You don't know where else to go to. People sometimes, they go to the parents, and their dear parents say, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's your love. It's your power. And I don't know what to say to you. They need comfort. I know if we have this grace in our hearts that are older, to show the younger and more of this spirit of love and interest and affection, that we really do care about their future, friends. They need this, you know. If they're to prosper in life, they need the comfort of God. They need Jesus Christ. They need all that the blessed book has ever said they find in God himself. Let them find this too. As we spoke, I think, this morning, to acknowledge God in all their ways, and he shall direct their path. What a wonderful thing. You, dear young people, something you want the Lord to do for you. Here is a mountain. You have to say, well, I don't know what to do about it. Your parents don't know how to do it. Friends can't tell you. Ministers can't decide for you. Only one way: for the Lord to make the way for you. Quite recently, we have a good many of these two young people in the country, in many places that we love, and I believe, without any boasting, we can say this: both my wife and I, they love us in return. And we love them to come to us, and we love to go and see them. And we were so amazed quite recently, two dear young ones that we I've had an interest in for a long time. And if ever two young people saw the Lord removing mountains later, the time came when they so desired to be brought together in wedlock, and they couldn't see any way of having a home. But you know, the Lord made a way. One of them had a relative who was brought to the end of her strength, and she said, I can't go on any longer. She sent for the young man, and she said, now look, here's your home if you will accept it for £900. That's all I'm asking for you for this, for £900. You know, they've got into it, they live in it, they're happy in it, and I believe Jesus Christ is in it with them. day encouragement, young and old. Wait thou only upon God. I'm sure that he can make a way, friends, where there seems to be no way at all. We've seen it many, many times. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him, and he will be to you a very present help in time of trouble. How do you think those young, dear young people felt? She said they couldn't hardly speak to each other. Of course they could. Of course they could. Wonders of grace to God belong, but I preached many, many times, wonders of providence to God belong. They're not hidden. They're part of God's dealings with his dear people. A great part, but not the important part. No, he said, she hath received the Lord's hand, double for all her sin, double mercy, yes. Double mercy. Extended mercy. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor hath he rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's where God has signed, settled and sealed his own word for the good of his people. Who has ever received, you know, judgment in the double, as it were, for all their sins? None of us, friends. None of us, none. God had dealt with us according that we should deserve. You think of it. If sometimes you find those, like almost a thunderbolt would come into your inmost soul, where you'll find an agony within your own soul because of your own guilt, your own iniquity, and you feel, oh, like Job of old, I abhor myself before God in dust and ashes. It's right home, friends. And if it doesn't, if sin never smarts, we can say this, there is not much operation of the Spirit of God in the soul. You have that, you'll have the mark that he is operating and leading and guiding to Jesus Christ. Now that is, for he is, I should say, the full answer and the full reward and the full blessing to every poor sinner that comes seeking for mercy. And mercy, says one, is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand, wretches who feel what help they need, they are blessed that helping hand. Have you ever blessed him? Standing by the rails down near the Thames the other day, looking over it upon the vast expanse of the river and many of the vessels, and there were these great huge things travelling up through the estuary. And while I was pondering upon them, thinking upon them, this dropped into my heart. First of all, the majesty of God. When I saw the majesty of those ships, above that was the majesty of God. This dropped in as I stood there. They that do business in deep waters, this struck home, even they shall understand the kindness of the Lord. I said, Lord, thou hast done deep business with this poor sinner, but I've been led to feel and to know the loving kindness of the Lord. I felt I was rooted to that little spot for a few minutes. You think that's comfort, true comfort, flowing from Christ into your soul. May he give it to each of you. Amen.
Collections on logs that I amounted to £30.76, which we will be sincerely thankful. God willing, Mr. Jupp is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Pavlik next Lord's Day. Let us close the singing hymn number 993.
Thank you.
drawing to a close. Let now go forth with us into the world, and may we be each favored with journeying mercies, and be with each of us in the days to come. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to rest and abide with you each, this night and forevermore. Amen.